This is a podcast that seeks justice. Justice for the lives stolen by those in society that hide amongst us every day. Hidden in our towns, cities, and countrysides, the places that we work, and sometimes in our very own homes. This is Hidden Killers.
Welcome to the podcast. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our breaking updates and discussions on the cases that we are following. My name is Tony Bruschi. Today, we're being joined by Jim Rathman, former Secret Service investigative consultant, to discuss the Chad and Lori Daybell saga. And I want to go to this question right away, Jim, because it's one thing that has always shocked me, and maybe you can provide some insight into this. Just how long Lori and Chad Daybell were able to sell their story of their kids being safe with the friends, with this person, with that person, but no evidence of it. Did the system fail, or is this just how the system works? One can make up stories of where their children are for months until finally someone calling them out on it.
I fully agree with you. This case is so strange. I will say that I believe when law enforcement got the information, they went full steam ahead and they did a hell of a job. So I think law enforcement out there did a great job of piecing this together, finding what happened, collecting the evidence, and making sure that Chad and Lori never see the light of day again. But what led up to that is really strange. I think there's a lot of failures. I think there's failures with some of the relatives. There's failures within the community or the friends that knew of these people are like, I haven't seen them in ages, and the stories aren't matching up. Like, there was no communication from one side to the other. You know, like, right hand wasn't talking to the left hand, and they weren't communicating. So it didn't make a lot of sense to me. So why it took that long, but eventually, I mean, when it fell apart, it fell apart very quickly, and it unraveled, and law enforcement was right there to, you know, to recover the deceased and collect evidence. And I think they got hair follicles now off of the duct tape that, you know, they're now able to say, hey, we got very strong evidence that Lori knew about this and took part in the killing of her children. So I just think it took a little bit more time on the evidence aspect of it, but most certainly they should have. This should have been discovered months earlier when the stories weren't adding up.
And this obviously being one that's been brought to light. I mean, Dateline literally stalking them down on the beach as they got married while their children were missing. How common is this in non-high profile cases where kids just go missing? Not a lot of attention or investigation is put onto it unless the parents push it or unless relatives push it and authorities are pushed. Is this more common than we think of that kids just kind of go missing? And like I said, unless more attention is pushed on it, they're just reported missing without much investigation into the parents or anything.
Right. Unfortunately, there are cases that go unreported. I mean, you look at what happened was in Rhode Island with the poor little girl that was missing for 2 years.
Yeah.
Before she was reported, and finding out now that her father had something to do with it, and the stepmother and the mom had been reporting it the whole time. You know, things like that, they happen. I think a big issue that we have in the United States is I think too much is put into child services. There's not enough workers. I don't think there's enough funding. Yeah. And so you have caseworkers that have two and three times the amount of cases that they really should. And so things get swept under the rug, things get missed in emails, things get lost in translation. So I think that is a big problem that you will see systematically throughout the country. And it very well could be a problem in this particular case. I know it's happened with other cases as well. A kid goes missing. Maybe there's not a lot of family involved. There's not a lot of people to check up and follow up on. Maybe the parent had, you know, some sort of, you know, mental illness or some sort of stressors that were going on in their life that caused them to go down this route, and it's not discovered for a very long time. It's unfortunate. It happens. But I do think we have a systematic related issue where there's lack of funding mm-hmm. when it comes to child services. I think there's a lack of training involved as well. I think a lot of times we're too quickly to move too quick to give parents back the rights to their children. Now, and I get it. Everybody has a right to parent their child, and I agree with that. But there's certain circumstances you have to do what's in the best interest of the child. And you know, and you've seen that happen before. They'll give the parents back the child, and all of a sudden the child gets murdered by the parent a short time later because the problem actually wasn't fixed. You know, or they're subjected to much more abuse. So I think there's a lot of training, and I think they're just completely overworked. You know, and they need to be able to hire more child services so they're not so stressed with when, you know, anchored down with cases that they don't, these things don't fall through the cracks.
I 100% agree with everything you just said. I mean, what something that's been disturbing to me that I'm wondering if we're going to see in the future, all of the children that seem to have simply gone off the radar during COVID, where schools were shut down. There's literally thousands of kids who never returned to school, never then re-registered for online learning or another alternative source. They're just seemingly not there in terms of numbers. It does make you wonder. I mean, that seemed to be almost the perfect storm of if you want your child to disappear and you don't have a strong family unit that would, you know, raise a hand and say, you know, where's my grandson? Where's my niece or nephew? That it's not that difficult if you have that sort of dynamic and you don't want your child for them to go away. And you could say they ran away or make up any excuse almost. And not much more investigation would be done.
I agree with you. That's a great point that you make. And it's true. You know, COVID was probably the worst thing that could have happened to our to the kids these days. You know, not getting that social interaction, not having that ability to go to school to learn, you know, all the stressors and changes. But as for what you're speaking about here, it's a perfect cover for that to happen. These kids are not being tracked now. You don't have a teacher that's saying, hey, they haven't been reported to school. This child's not registered within the county or the city anymore for school. And so they can completely go missing. I actually, now after you say that, I actually want to go do some research to find out how many of these kids are not being tracked right now.
It's astounding.
It's very interesting, but it's astounding what you're saying. And COVID would have laid that perfect cover for this to happen.
I think it's something that really deserves some more research into, because it the numbers are literally shocking. Now, are all those kids, you know, missing or dead? No. But I would assume almost there's going to be a much higher number than I think many would expect as to where those children went to. We look at Chad and Lori's religious beliefs as being crazy, obviously, talks of zombies, loved ones being possessed and such. How common, though, is it that others hold beliefs that are just as ridiculous and keep them more locked down in private, maybe not writing books about them, yet they raise children, indoctrinating them into it, yet it's all deemed legal because of a religion? There seems to be a fine line there. I know we know there's freedom of religious beliefs, but where does it go into child abuse? Because it's not always physical.
Right. I agree with you. You know, the religion's a protected right that everybody has these days. And so there are some extreme religions out there that just do some of the strangest of things. I mean, I look back at some of the stuff I've heard and you're like, how do you fall into that? But it happens. But what I think the problem is, you know, where it crosses the line into being crimes, especially crimes against children. I think those types of religions, though, what's being done is never reported. It's like a secret society.
Yeah.
And they don't talk about it. You know, it doesn't get out. There's no videos of it. They're not allowed to talk about it. The threats, you know, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of brainwashing that's taken place for so long that they just becomes normal. It's part of their culture, their everyday life. So I think in order those types of incidents usually leak out, but they leak out because somebody had that moment of like, oh, wait a minute, what are we doing here? What happened? And it's like they come back to reality and they're like, well, this is a crime. So now we got to take it down. You know, so you have that whistleblower from the inside. But a lot of times it can go on for many, many years and you have no idea. I mean, just, you know, we look at some of the extreme things that have happened, like what in Texas, David Koresh, was that his name?
Yeah.
You know, you have the people that drank all the poison that was, you know, in another country, and it had hundreds and thousands of people that just all died because they drank the punch. You know, how do you get yourself to that situation? How do you allow it to go that far? But
yeah, I guess that's the question.
People do.
These sort of things are out there, and it's not that difficult on the outside to look at them and not know all their details, but go, there's kids in there, and this doesn't seem to be any sort of balanced way of thinking. You know, physical abuse, if there were, you know, you could look at them and you saw them being abused physically, it's much easier to step in, but we don't seem to put the same sort of weight on mental abuse in this country when it comes to children.
I would agree with you completely on that. There's a lot of mental abuse that goes into that. A lot of brainwashing.
Is it covered by religion, though? Is that why these sort of things can go on for so long? We're hearing stories, too, of Lori's upbringing and them being not the greatest. A lot of very, very strict religious practices. And you can almost look at it and go, well, there's the recipe for Lori Daybell. This is how you get someone like that. Physical harm, obviously illegal. Is there any way to step in situations like that in from law enforcement or something to protect children? Or does it, you know, the religious beliefs of the parents are what keep them trapped?
I think it's something that needs to be relooked at as far as laws and policies go, just because religion does protect it and it provides them a perfect cover. And the moment you go ahead and challenge somebody's religion, now they have the right to file a lawsuit and things like that. So I think it's something that needs to be examined much more closely. How do you regulate that, though, is a very good question. You know, you need, how do you get law enforcement present there? I mean, it's, if it's their religion and it's a justifiable religion, or they it's passes all the parameters of what's needed as it being a religion, how do you actually penetrate that without getting yourself subjected to civil lawsuit penalties and violating people's, you know, rights to their religion? I just think it's unfortunately a slippery slope right now, but I think it's something that needs to be reinvestigated, reexamined, because, you know, there's religions out there where people sacrifice animals every weekend, you know, and do all kind of ritual related stuff and drinking blood and, you know, just various things. You got kids present watching that as well. You have, you know, obviously crimes against children, like you spoke of. There's physical abuse, there's mental abuse. At what point can law enforcement come in? And unless you get word of this somehow and you get some sort of undercover law enforcement agency to go in and infiltrate the religion and start becoming a part of their congregation or whatever they want to refer to it as, I don't really know how you would report those crimes if it's not being reported already.
Yeah. And it's not always just children that are affected in some of these situations. One that comes to mind right now of a person that many have reported missing, Shelley Miscavige, Scientology, the wife of the leader of that, not seen in years. And many going, can we just do a wellness check or something? And all you get is a letter back from the organization saying she's fine. it's really scary, the power that a religion can have over people and over law enforcement.
Yeah, I agree. Again, this is something that they definitely need to dive into and take a look at and put a higher priority on to try to figure it out. There's you bring up some very good points. I wouldn't know how to tackle it, though. I wish I did.
Jim Rathman, former Secret Service investigative consultant, thank you so much for your insight on this conversation. If you like the podcast, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes and breaking coverage as we have it here for you. Get a commercial-free experience by signing up through Apple Podcasts right now. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyBPod. For all of us here, thanks for listening.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.